Kickstarter party, we will party hard.
Right.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Uncomfortable Silence. This is the inaugural podcast for Uncomfortable Silence. I'm here on the West Coast. This is Trevor Crafts, and my partner, as always, on the East Coast,
Kurt Kohler. That's right, that's representing Joyzy.
Joyzy.
Hi.
You're like almost in the OC, you know that?
I
it's like the Orange, instead of Orange County, it's like South Orange.
I'm in South Orange, yeah.
It's the SC. It's the SO actually. South Orange.
Yeah, could be the SC. So
kind of South County.
So hello and welcome to this experiment. Being that this is our first episode, we're probably not actually going to even put this out.
No.
So we're.
No, I think that's a poor idea.
I think
eventually it may come out just as, you know, torture for those, you know, rabid fans that really just want to hear some just really terrible, just absolutely shitty podcasting. But I think for now,
the question,
we're going to keep it under wraps.
Right. The question I have is, do you think we'll have rabid fans ever? No.
Only if I show my penis, and then we won't.
I think this will
but
be.
If I don't, if I can keep it in, then I think there's a good chance that we may actually get a fan. If I can get 4, I think that I'm going to be happy about that.
That's your goal. I think we're going to be broadcasting into the internet equivalent of a black hole.
Probably. I'm sure that's going to happen. Nothing, including light, will escape. No fan will escape.
That's exactly right. So Trevor used to live here.
I used to live on the East Coast. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I used to be East Coast based.
And then you finally escaped. Congratulations.
I couldn't take it anymore.
Taxes.
You know, taxes. New Jersey in general. I don't know how you're still there. I have no idea.
I tried to leave before you.
I know. You were going to come to the same area. You were going to be San Diego based.
I was going to move to San Diego 12 years ago.
Right.
And
you may have actually prompted it me going. I mean, outside of the fact that, you know, my childlike bride had all of her family here. But I'm sure that didn't factor into it. I mostly just want to emulate and mimic everything that you do.
That's good. I like it. It's a little scary, but I like it.
I feel a little not so fresh, and I'm not sure if that's the right response.
So now the funny thing is I wanted to go, like, I like the West a lot better than the East, and I wanted to move there, you know, 15, 12, I don't know, a lot of years ago. I never did. And now I'm weirdly stuck here. So this is,
yeah.
I'm going to call this my home for now. This is like an East Coast, East Coast, West Coast thing happening.
Right. It's both cities. We'll be able to, you know, really talk about both sides of the country. So, like, it's dark where you are and it's light where I am. But I think that's a good just sort of general,
right,
you know, rule of thumb.
Usually East Coast, West Coast, it's New York, L.A., or maybe New York, San Francisco, depending on who you're talking to.
That's ridiculous.
It's rarely...
That's so played.
How about
New Jersey, San Diego?
Well,
that's a little better.
But it's not even San Diego. Are you in San Diego?
No, I'm in North County, San Diego. So it's not even
right. It's
not even regular San Diego. It's not like downtown. I'm not like by the harbor. I'm not, you know.
So it's like shitty pretend like suburb of New York.
Shitty, but it's exactly. I mean,
no, I'm talking about where I am, not where you are.
Oh, that's where you are. Yeah, don't worry. No,
don't.
I'd agree with that.
I'm saying it's
wholehearted.
Shitty, super, whatever. Where I am. Outside of New York, but I pretend
Correct.
I'm in New York. Yeah, I'm New York based,
Correct.
Right? But I'm like,
yeah, I'm New York.
I'm in Jersey. You pretend to be LA based, I think, right?
I do actually. There's a lot of times where I will say, "No, I'm in LA," and they're
right.
like, "Oh yeah, where?" I'm like, "It's, you know, south of LA, you know, in suburb south." The fact that I am like 100 miles from LA doesn't really, you know, factor in to
right.
the same scenario.
Do you feel like a bad person when you lie to people like that?
I feel bad when I don't lie. I'm now at the point where I feel bad when I don't lie to people.
So I just looked up your distance from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And according to this, and this is what I love about the area of the world where you live,
mm-hmm.
it's 90 miles.
Correct.
It says 1 hour and 37 minutes, and then right below it says 2 hours and 30 minutes in traffic.
So I drove back. I finished a meeting in LA, and I left at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
from Thousand Oaks, California, which is even further sort of northwest of LA. And I left at 5. I got home at 9:30 at night. 4.5 hours later. I did stop at Jack in the Box, which is one of my favorite places. But outside of, you know, I got a sourdough Jack. Outside of that, I was straight through, and it's a nightmare. That's so why I'm happy I don't live in LA.
So you like the Jack in the Box?
I'm actually huge on the Jack in the Box.
I like the Carl's.
Jack and I are good friends, well documented friends.
I like the Carl's Jr.
We have those here.
No, that's where they are. And I like the Charles. I like the Carl's Jr. I like the $6 cheeseburger.
You may also like Charles Jr. too. I think that's with you specifically.
I don't know what that is. People have this thing where they go out. I noticed this on the Facebook. Are you familiar with the Facebook?
I am on the Facebook. Yeah, I'm on the Facebook.
So I have these, you know, friends, and I use that term loosely to describe
quote unquote the
people.
You have a bunch of pixels that you call your friend. A bunch of bytes.
Some of them are my friends. But many of them are just these people that I know that are in my life that I don't even know how to. New York's a funny place, and so it's like if you live in New York and you have quote unquote friends in New York, a lot of what you do is you talk about how you should get together one day.
Oh man, we got to get together. Oh, well, I'm just up in by the Cloisters. Oh, I'm down in Chelsea. Oh, but we got to get together. Yeah.
Right. So it's always like this conversation, like, hey, give me a call and we'll get together. It's never like, hey, let's get together then. It's always like, hey, yeah, give me a call, we'll get together. Or hey, drop me an email, we'll get together. Or I'll call you and we'll get together. But it's you never actually get together.
Correct.
Right. And then Facebook. That's exactly what Facebook is. Facebook is just that, but virtually. Right.
Yeah.
But it makes it more efficient because I can have many more of those types of relationships that I had in New York City virtually all over the country.
Right.
It's kind of a beautiful thing. And I realize I'm plugging Facebook right now and I don't know why, like, but it enables you to do that. It's a wonderful thing. I highly recommend it.
For those who've never heard of it,
yeah,
or seen the new film or done anything about it.
Yeah, I'm actually, have you ever heard of MySpace? Have you heard of that?
Didn't that close?
I think it's still open. I think it's owned I think it's owned by Fox, so it'll be around forever in some shitty state. And then there's Friendster. Remember Friendster?
Oh, the old Friendster. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Boy, those are good times. It's like CompuServe. It's like remembering my CompuServe account.
I had a CompuServe account.
Everybody had a CompuServe
account. It had a number that started with a 7, right? It was like 7 something, da da da, comma, something else was like your login, right? Is that CompuServe? I think so. Anyway, showing my age. So I'm 21. But on Facebook, so I have all these relationships, but it seems like the thing on Facebook, because I live out east, and I notice that whenever people travel to San Francisco, and they travel to Las Vegas, and they travel to Los Angeles.
Sure.
And when they do that, and they head out there, they're always talking about In-N-Out. They got to go to In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, it is good. I'm not going to lie. I do like it.
It's good, but it's not all that. Is it?
There's a lot of I like my culinary palate is one that enjoys differing textures.
Okay.
That's what I'm into. So I like, you know, crunchy and, you know, and soft together as a combination. It's just something I like the In-N-Out Burger for that reason because they basically I think they fry their buns.
They put them through a toaster. Like, yeah, they call it toasting.
Whatever they do, whatever magic that they create.
They deep fry the buns. They bread and deep fry the buns.
Correct.
And they put a slab of raw, fresh, never frozen beef on there. It's wonderful.
Correct.
I highly recommend it.
And they use the iceberg lettuce, which is, as everyone knows, nature's crunchiest lettuce. And then you get the little bit of both. You get the melted cheese. You get the beef, and then you have the crunchiness from the deep-fried breaded bun and the iceberg lettuce that offers no nutritional value whatsoever.
So In-N-Out Burger's good. I mean, it's you go there, it's a decent burger, right? But You can get good burgers in a lot of places now.
Of course.
And yet everybody, it's like a, ever since that Quentin Tarantino film, right? Everybody's like, oh, gotta go to In-N-Out. And
it's a syndrome. It's a syndrome. It's like an infection.
I don't like it.
And also, it takes forever. I mean, if you're in a hurry, forget In-N-Out Burger. Just drop it. Don't even go.
The one in Vegas isn't too bad. The one that I went to in Vegas wasn't too bad.
Well, you went at like 4 a.m. after, you know, leaving all the strippers.
There,
so that's
well, that you know, sounds
I mean, we're
fun
buying for them. I mean, it's a party, so you had to buy something for them to eat.
Well, that sounds fun, and if my life were like that, then yes, I would have done that. But I actually went. And I think they close at 1 in the morning, like on the weekends. And I had gone to San Francisco, and then I went back to Vegas, and I got off the plane, and I'm like, I really want to go to In-N-Out because that infected my brain. I think what happened is I was on the plane. I was stuck in that, you know, aluminum tube on the runway, like waiting to get to the gate. And I was like browsing Facebook, and somebody that I knew had just like left Vegas, right? And they were like, oh, went to In-N-Out and whatever. I'm like, oh, In-N-Out. And then it was like I had to go. But it's not that – it's not all that, right?
No, it's not really all that actually.
But people
I also don't like the fries there. You know, like I would prefer to go to Jack in the Box and get some seasoned curly fries than to go to In-N-Out and get those weird fries. Those fries are kind of – they're like skinny and I don't know.
Yeah,
speaking
I don't know.
Of Vegas,
yeah,
did you hear about the death ray?
Oh, there's a death ray in Vegas?
The death ray in Vegas now.
Is it like
it's
a
– MGM? It's at the MGM Grand. So the MGM Grand – and I should research this because I'm going there, you know, in end of October to the MGM Grand. But they have this new hotel that they've built, and there's like a curved surface on the hotel, like a concave – row of windows. Apparently what happens at different points in time during the day for about 90 minutes, the sun hits and bounces off of this convex, basically magnifying lens.
I hope you're going to say it melts the freeway. Are those the words you're going to say next?
And it burns people.
Excellent.
So,
oh my God, that's so awesome.
Oh, it's the best. So basically, you know, over the pool deck, there's this, you know, there's this area called, you know, everybody's calling it like the death ray. And, you know, I've seen pictures of people that have like a plastic bag and the plastic bag is melted, like a shopping bag. And the plastic itself is actually melted. Like people have reported that their hair gets burned.
Oh my God, I love it.
By being in this sunny area. It's just too sunny for humans.
They should totally advertise that.
And that's the thing that I love about in Vegas especially, nobody really goes to that extra level to really think about stuff. It's like, we want to build a huge, unbelievable tower of glass and steel.
Wait, I'm gonna read a quote. Okay, so I did this thing where I used, have you heard of Google?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you heard of Google?
Which is this now?
It's what we call a search engine. So there's
It's on the internet machine. It's on the internet machine.
Yeah, imagine. So imagine in the future, right? There are these devices that you can just carry with you, like in your pocket, or you have one at home, or maybe there's something. You know, they're all over the place.
Sounds a little fruity, but okay.
And you have this device, and you can on this device you can look up like all of the world's knowledge because people have plugged it all into this giant, like, I'm going to call it like a network, right? And it's an inner network of different networks, and people have,
for lack of a better term,
created these things, and so you can actually just look up like anything. That's going to be possible one day.
Shocking.
So
do they come in pink?
They come in Bing.
Oh.
So anyway, I used Google, which is this future. It's called a search engine. You have to be able to find stuff on this
thing.
Okay, so here's a quote from an attorney. I love quotes from attorneys. Number one.
Of course.
So I guess he was hanging out on the near the Vidara Hotel in Las Vegas.
That's the one. Yeah, it's the Vidara Hotel. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was hanging out by the pool. Like you said, it was a pool thing, right?
Yeah.
So this is his quote, okay? It says, Chicago attorney Bill Pintus felt its power firsthand after returning to his lounge chair after a swim last week. And this is a great quote. You ready? It felt like I had a chemical burn. I couldn't imagine why my head was burning, said Pintus, yeah, who owns a condo in the building. Within 30 seconds, the back of my legs and my back were burning. My first thought was, Jesus, they destroyed the ozone layer.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
That they destroyed?
His first thought
was that the ozone layer has broken.
He's lying down.
Outside of Las Vegas, geez.
He's in the desert. The sun's out there. He's in a lounge chair. Oh my God, my legs are burning. And the first thing he thinks is, Jesus, they destroyed the ozone layer.
You know who it was?
Who was it?
Chris Angel.
Chris
Angel made the ozone layer disappear as an amazing trick at the Luxor. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That is a good trick.
I actually met him at the gun store in Las Vegas.
No, you didn't.
I did.
At the gun store?
Some tricks. Yeah, you don't know the gun store?
We've been
to Vegas together. This is a problem. The gun store is this awesome place in Vegas where you can shoot automatic weapons.
Or is it like a range?
It's a store and a range. I mean, they sell actual guns there too. Mm-hmm. But you can get what's called the shoot the wall package for $150, and you can shoot every weapon that they have.
Okay.
That sounds
good.
If you want to shoot AK-47s, you got it. MP5s, you got it. Every weapon that Bond uses, you can do that. An M60, at your leisure.
And you said automatic weapons. So a lot of people say automatic weapons, but they don't mean that.
Fully automatic weapons.
Okay.
Like, you can pull the trigger and it just goes.
Interesting.
It's pretty hot.
Interesting.
It's a lot of fun. You should try it someday.
Maybe I'll do that next time I go there. I'm going in January to go to CES. So maybe I'll extend my trip a day and go to the gun store.
Yeah, I'll be there in February as well.
I will not.
The MGM Grand.
But this is the Vidara Hotel.
But it is the MGM. It's like, I think it's attached or something.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's MGM Resorts built it, so I don't know at the MGM Grand Hotel.
Oh, it's in City Center. It's with all that crazy stuff. I think they're broke, and they've stopped building. I was there a few weeks ago, and when I went, I noticed that a lot of stuff was finished that wasn't finished at the time I was there before. And there are these big hotel projects and condo projects and stuff. And my friend who lives there, who I don't know if I should name, Bill Lundy. So my friend Bill was like, yeah, they closed up the outsides of these buildings and finished the facades, but the insides are totally empty. So they, you know, like, I forget what it was, but one of the casinos had like two towers, and then they built this third one, but nobody's buying anything or, you know, they can't rent the rooms because they built like 400,000 rooms too many. So they just finish them up on the outside, and then they look finished, but they're empty on the inside.
Well, that's probably thanks to the president saying, don't go to Vegas.
Oh, did he say that?
Twice he said that.
What a jackass.
Twice he said.
To paraphrase the president.
Really, people shouldn't go to Las Vegas because, you know, it's like, I don't know why he said it. But basically the mayor of Las Vegas said, Mr. President, you're not welcome here.
Oh.
So basically he's not allowed to go to Las Vegas. I mean, you know.
Wow. I miss out on a lot of things by not watching a lot of television.
Well,
did you see that? Did you see that on television?
I saw that on television.
Yeah. I gotta get me one of those.
They're not bad. They got all different shapes and sizes now.
I have televisions. I have the devices in which you would watch the television, but
you
I don't
have any content.
I don't have that pipe that you buy for like $1 million a month, and it's just like
it's just like crack pipe.
That comes. Yeah, exactly. I don't have that. You're saying I should pay $200 a month to get like the pipe of shit that just appears on there.
I'm not telling you to do that at all. I'm telling you that that's what I have, but you don't have to have that same.
Wait, you want to be like me?
Yeah, but there are certain limits that I have. I won't like smash my iPod, for example, or my whatever iPhone.
I didn't smash anything. I burned it.
Well, you did. You know, your idea of like, you know, iPod gets burned and explodes. The explode part was what I was waiting for. I watched like 40 minutes of you like continually trying to make this thing explode. The most boring video I've ever seen. And then finally the explosion part is you like hitting it with a hammer.
A bat, dude.
A bat.
Hitting with a hammer.
Hardly to count. Hardly counts as...
Dude, I live in Jersey. I hit things with bats.
Yo, we do whatever we want in Jersey. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, so Las Vegas Death Ray. I have to go there now and experience the Death Ray.
You have to feel the Death Ray. I understand. It's important.
I like doing things like that. When I went to the Ukraine, I have some contacts there for various reasons.
Drug contacts.
And I went there to visit somebody, and I
coke dealers.
And I tried to get him to take me to Pripyat, like where the Chernobyl meltdown stuff.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, "I want to have more kids, so I can't, I can't go." And I said, "Dude, it's not like that." And he's like, "They don't tell you everything about it. Like they don't. They're very paranoid over there in the Ukraine."
It's weird though, because I watched a documentary once about that, and there's a syndrome called Chernobyl heart, which basically is because, you know, young children or preborn children, they have this heart defect that they basically have the little hole in their heart.
All those preborn children?
The preborn children. Yeah, the preborn ones. You know, the ones that are around the radiation. And
the preborns.
Like the preborn children. The ones that are before they're born. That's
the preborn children.
Preborn children,
as
yeah.
opposed to the preborn. Like postborn fetus.
But, well, that would just be children. You don't need to add the extra thing.
Okay.
So anyway.
Okay, sorry.
You never heard of preebies before?
I haven't. That's probably a real term. Somebody probably uses that.
Preebies. I doubt it. I think I just made that up.
I think it's a pro-life.
Uncomfortable Silence podcast one.
Yeah, we're talking over each other, but it's probably a pro-life term.
Preebie? Really?
Preborn children? Because
what's that website? What's that website that you were telling me about?
It's called Bing. Ka-ching! Thank you, Microsoft.
Oh, dollar bills.
It's called Google.
Preebie.
Yeah.
There's a preebie website.
This is a fascinating podcast. It's where... It's where the two people on the podcast Google things. This is a little segment we like to call Google It.
And you're just going to listen to Kurt's loudest keyboard on earth.
Dude, this isn't the loudest keyboard on earth. I'm going to set this down a second. I'm going to get the loudest keyboard on earth. Hold on one second.
Yeah, because so for everybody out there that's listening while he gets this keyboard, he special ordered a keyboard that's like a vintage keyboard.
Did you fill the airtime with Super
Mario? I did. That is the loudest keyboard possibly on the planet.
No, go ahead. Here's the loudest keyboard. You ready? This is my favorite keyboard. You ready?
Go ahead.
Louder, right?
Now compare that to the other one.
Okay.
Right. There's a much higher tone.
Which one's louder?
The first. There you go.
Yeah, this is the one. This is it's my favorite keyboard in the world, but my wife hates it.
Right, your wife will divorce you if you use it.
Actually, I don't even know if that's true. At this point in our marriage, we've been married for close to 10 years. I just assume that.
Don't assume.
Well, I assume that she hates, and this isn't fair to her because she's actually, you know, nice and stuff. But I think she hates everything that I like automatically. Does that make sense?
I think that's a good choice for her.
I think that's what I do.
And I don't think that, by the way, just as an FYI, back to the deep dive that we did before, a little corporate speak for you there. I don't think that preebie is a term. I think I've just invented preebie.
Well, preebie, yeah. Okay, you should take credit for that. That's
a preborn child is a preebie.
It's beautiful. Speaking of preebies, I'm gonna segue into something here.
And it's always great when you preface it with "I'm going to segue."
Yeah, because I like it to be, I like the flow of that. So here it's a little stat. I like stats. Sure. 82% of children under 2 have an online presence.
That's amazing.
82% of children under 2 have an online presence.
What do you mean have like their own page or just like have pictures?
They have an an online presence. I think they have their name and information associated with them online. The reason I can't answer that is because that was actually your...
Yeah, that was one of my articles that I was going to segue into later, but you just kind of ruined it. But that's okay. That's
dude,
all right.
I didn't do
but
it.
But actually, what I will tell you about is that, honestly,
yes,
basically, there's a lot of moms that get – people do studies on moms because the moms and, like, mom bloggers and all this stuff, they're all, like, a very high group of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
So they study these people and what they do. And everybody just floods all of their information constantly onto the internet without any thought or anything about this stuff. So all these babies are getting their pictures online. But it's like, again, it's the same thing. It's like building a big tower out of glass and steel and not worrying if there's going to be a death ray. It's like, at what level is that going to be okay or not okay? It's no wonder there's like pedophilia all over the United States because there's like pictures everywhere. And I don't know if that's – I don't know if it's right or wrong. I mean, you want to show pictures. Like I don't – on – what was it? The Facebook you were saying? That,
yeah.
That website?
Yeah, the Facebook.
Yeah, I don't really put a lot of – I don't like let people know what's going on.
Right, because you've heard the stories about people – you've heard the stories about people getting robbed and stuff.
I have no idea what you mean. What, like virtual gunpoint, like they gift you a gun?
No. People will say like
empty all your Facebook credit monies.
No. People will say like we're going to California for the week, and then people that their house is empty.
Exactly it. Or it's like you have like a client or something, and you type like, oh boy, we're really in the shit now, and they're like, what's going on? You know, it's not a good thing.
You have to spend hours of your life segmenting them into separate groups. Yeah, Facebook sucks.
Apparently, have done.
No, apparently, what I've done is I have this attitude. It's called a fuck off attitude. Have you heard of this? And so
that's a New Jersey attitude. I understand.
So I kind of don't care.
I had the same one.
Yeah, I kind of don't care. So I have clients and people that I've whatever, and then I post like the weirdest shit and just don't care. And I figure like it's probably bad. Bad, good, I don't know. It's probably not ideal for the things that I want to accomplish in my life to potentially piss off powerful and or, like people that could help me and, things like that. But on the other hand, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I am who I am and, I hate anything. I can't even put on clothes. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, have you ever been in those meetings and you have to, like, wear something? Do you know what I'm talking about? I know.
What do you mean, like clothes in general, like nudity in meetings? Because that I'm all for, by the way. It depends on who I'm with. Depends on the client. You have problems. You have some mental problems.
I do, but what I mean is I go to these meetings, and I went to a meeting at like a huge financial a financial firm that shall remain nameless, American Express, okay? And I go in there, and they have some cool people that work there or whatever. I mean, there's a guy up the street that works there, and he seems cool, and whatever. So I go into this meeting, but I'm not representing myself. Like if I were representing myself, I'd just be like, I'll wear jeans, and I'll go in there, and I'm like the CEO of my little company, and you're hiring me, and like whatever. Like this is who I am, right? But I was in there like repping another company, right? So I'm like in there and it's kind of like unclear whether I work for myself or this other company, but they're like trying to present it like I'm part of their firm and all this, right? So I have to like, they're like, oh, make sure you dress a certain way or whatever, right? So now it's like, okay, fine. So I'm wearing like all these clothes and I feel like in those situations, like it's Halloween or like I'm acting this part but I also feel like I have to make an impression. So I sit around this table and I look at everybody and everybody seems uncomfortable. It's not just me, or maybe it is and I'm mentally ill or both. But I sit around this table and everybody has their like, their rolled up cuffs and their cufflinks and their, all this like stuff that they're wearing and nobody seems comfortable. They all seem to be like gauging each other and, figuring, all of that. And those meetings also suck because they're usually nothing occurs in those meetings. It's just like we're talking about the way we're going to do stuff later. And I hate all of that. But how did I start this? What was I talking about when I started this? Because this is my own.
I think everybody that's listening has lost you right now. All zero people that are listening to this have absolutely lost you.
Oh, yeah. What's the point of all that? Like, I have a track record doing stuff, and you're hiring me for that reason? Just hire me for that reason. What does it matter if I have, like, the right, you know, like...
Yeah, but see, when you're like that, you can live outside of the rules. You know, I did a meeting not too long ago where I was dressed in my, you know, all these new expensive clothes that I've had to buy, which I'm like, how did I ever spend $300 on a shirt? Like, I don't, it's not really me, okay. You know, but like the guy that I'm working with is like, no, you got to buy a shirt. And I'm like, okay, I probably do have to buy a shirt because my, you know, Alexander Julian shirt from, you know, like my high school graduation that barely fits me still, probably I should retire that. I should probably let it go. To the big laundry basket in the sky.
Probably, and also if you're lying and telling everybody you live in Beverly Hills, like...
Which I do often, because right. I don't feel normal when I don't lie.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at people that have, it's exactly this, like the watches and the other stuff and, you know, the fake tans, and it's a kind of frightening. It's a little scary.
It's weird, right?
But I don't know why exactly, I mean, like anything else, I guess to a certain extent, there is a sort of social acceptability that happens when you're in any group of other human beings.
But does anybody totally actually like that? Like, is there anybody that actually likes that?
Maybe.
There might be some. It's like, yeah, we're all deciding that we need to do a certain thing. So, like, if I'm in my neighborhood, you know, I live in a progressive neighborhood, so if somebody's like, oh, the earth, and it's so great, and we need to save it, and I, like, have a problem with that because it's silly to think that we're going to save the earth because it's just going to wipe us out, you know, whatever, right? Like, I can't get too into that where I live because I'll alienate everybody, right? And then my son won't have people to play with. You know, I mean, it'll be, it's bad, right? So there's that stuff, but this is like, you wear a costume. And I know we all wear uniforms and we all do this different stuff, but it's like, you know, I wear, like, I'm a software developer. I wear this software developer's uniform, and I've actually gone into meetings. Like, I had LASIK, right? I've actually gone into meetings and put glasses on, even though I don't need them anymore. I've done that.
That is super gay. That is super gay.
It's
so what, you're playing the same role. I mean, you're doing. I'm the doing it there, and everybody else.
And I do it because people are like, oh, glasses equals nerdy equals smart equals whatever, right? Like, and I've done that a couple times, and I feel weird doing it, but I do it. Do you know what I mean?
But this I'm surprised you do it, actually. This is a whole new side of you that I've never experienced before.
I've done it twice. So.
Amazing what comes out. It's amazing what comes out on the podcast.
I mean, this is where I let it all out. I mean, in our personal relationship, I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything. I mean, this is where I let it out.
Right. We can kiss, but you won't tell me this. All right, it's fine. No, it's okay. It's good. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So yeah, I've worn glasses a couple times in meetings after I needed them. Which was bad because I had LASIK in one eye, so that eye I can't see out of then. It's really painful.
so you didn't actually get glasses that just have glass in them. You got...
No, I have my old glasses.
You just used your old glasses because you're too cheap to actually change them.
Well, until they went out of style, and then now I don't wear them at all. And I just tried it a couple times, but I did it, and I realized that I had gone to meetings without them, and then I'd gone to meetings with them, and I don't think it's me feeling better. I think it's just people were like, oh, that guy has glasses. That's the appropriate... part of his that he's okay then. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm signaling like I'm nerdy because I have glasses and I spend a lot of time looking at screens and books, right? Or whatever that signal. But in those, like, when you go to Amex or, and I guess it's the same thing. If you go to like American Express and you sit down with all these people that are like working at American Express, they're not like billionaires, right? They're not like millionaires.
They're a people, lot wealthier than we are.
But no, they're people making like $150,000 a year, right?
And No,
they are. These people in these meetings are like that level. They're like that level. And there's even some like entry-er level or people like in there, like 90,000, right? Maybe, right? But they're all dressed up. And they're all looking around. And everybody looks uncomfortable. And nobody says anything. And everybody's afraid to talk. So you know what I do in meetings like that? Within the first two times that I talk, I swear.
Do you really?
I do.
That's a good idea.
I do. I swear. I say like shit on purpose. I say, or some shit like that. I say that like in the first two times that I talk, because then it's like I've signaled something completely different and everybody's like, oh, that, you know, whoa, like for a second or whatever. and it just
cuts. That guy's crazy.
He's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
You cannot control her color. You could try to control her color, but you can't.
So, if I'm talking right now,
yeah.
Do I sound like robots?
No.
Do I echo?
Do you think you sound like robots?
I think I sound like robots. Oh my god! No, you sound like echoey robots. I kind of like it.
How long have I sounded like robots?
It just started, and it's kind of cool, and I'm into it, and it's kind of like your who's that guy? Hawking? Richard Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. Yeah, baby. Just like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
To the left.
Oh my god, don't stop. That's such a turn on.
That scares me now. Now I'm scared.
Okay, so good. Okay, so anyway, I'm talking about sitting in meetings at work.
I think we need to move on. I think that we've exhausted this topic, Kurt. I really do. As much as I appreciate the
never-ending,
hellish, like, living in your world for 10 minutes, like, understanding your milieu, I think we've got to move on.
You're not a robot anymore, but I was talking about compelling. This was what I was delivering was compelling content.
Was it? Is that what you call that?
That's what I call it.
Awesome.
So I have another random thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
You know what I'm about to do, right?
I think you're going to segue.
I'm going to segue into what? Another thing from your...
Are you really?
No, I better not.
So here's a question for you, Kurt. What are you going to do this weekend?
Oh, this weekend. Yeah. Okay, so it's my son's. I have a son, and he's having a birthday party, and he wanted a science themed birthday party.
Nice.
So I got
nerd.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is he the insult that they have with each other is they call each other nerd. And he wants a science themed birthday party.
that's like basically pulling out old Mr. Wizard tapes and just playing those on a loop.
Yeah. So what I have is I'm doing, you know, like crazy like Diet Coke and Mentos and like you know, things like that. Like crazy, like, oh my god, what if we did this crazy thing that's vaguely science, and
you could call the MGM hotel property and figure out how to make a death ray.
Hey kids, watch this! Watch this
Let's try humanoid to death
figure.
Ray.
Watch this humanoid figure burst into flames.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That would be a birthday to remember, and your kid would love you for that.
I think he would remember it always.
All the children would remember.
They would. That would be
Mr.
great.
Mr. Kohler killed someone by making them spontaneously combust. It was great.
It'd be great to bust that out at a birthday party, wouldn't it?
Spontaneous human combustion.
The problem is, I don't know if I mentioned this before, I live in a fairly progressive neighborhood, and I don't know how that would. I don't know how that would.
Sorry to hear that. I don't actually.
I don't know how that would. I don't know how that would fly.
I used to.
I don't know how that would fly with the locals.
With the local denizens of South Orange, New Jersey.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so so that's what I'm doing this weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm actually gonna go. I think tomorrow. Secretariat opens. Yeah, maybe. Oh. Secretariat about the horse, the Triple Crown. So, and in case I didn't say this before, because this is the first podcast we're doing, my wife actually owns three horses.
Okay.
So she spends a lot of time at the at her horse farm doing horse jumping and horse dressage and all that kind of stuff. So the opening of a horse themed movie is quite an affair.
Did you say horse massage?
Yes, horse massage. The horse gets better care than I do often. The horse has a chiropractor, a massage therapist, uh-huh. an acupuncturist,
really?
Two doctors.
Really?
And I'm just second cookie over here, I guess.
Huh. Yeah, Secretariat. But the question, I don't know what that is. Is it like a famous horse?
Secretariat is the last winner of the Triple Crown.
Oh, okay.
God, you got to get out more. You have to get out more.
To the triple?
You have to leave the computer. The glow will not give you a tan.
To the Triple Crown. I have to get out more to the Triple Crown. Okay,
yeah. Just get out more in general, man.
Okay.
So, for those who don't know, Kurt.
I'm going to say this, what? And this is, you're really going to get upset. I don't know what the Triple Crown is.
The Triple Crown is the winning of three races. It's the Belmont and there's two others. I can't remember the two others.
Now, was that an uncomfortable silence?
That was an uncomfortable silence that I just had because I couldn't remember what the three...
The Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, right?
Thank you. So you do know.
No, I have this thing called Google.
Oh, yeah, Google number two.
And when you had that uncomfortable silence, I looked it up.
Right. So it's the Belmont, the Preakness, what was the other one?
The Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby. So if you win all three of those, you win the Triple Crown.
Okay.
And it's very, very, very hard to do.
Didn't Tiger Woods do that one time?
Yes, I think he did, actually.
Isn't that when he got famous? He won the Triple Crown?
Yep, he won the Triple Crown. Yep. Okay, he ran all three amazingly and then got divorced. But I don't know why. It's like everybody knows what happened. The horse won the Triple Crown.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's like it's happened in history. So what I don't know is why do we always love seeing movies? Because they're always popular. They're always popular. Movies that have endings that we know about. So like
I'm gonna tell you why.
Seabiscuit, Miracle, Titanic, you know,
Charge. We didn't know what happened in Titanic, did we?
Oh, everybody knew.
The ship
was... Rainbow Bright. Everybody knew what happened at the
end. Titanic had a story of it had that thing where the I'm on the top of the world, right? And all that. Yeah, here's why. Because it'll be an against all odds story, right? Because what are the odds of winning all three of those?
It's slim. It hasn't happened.
It's slim.
Since the 70s. It's 70, whatever, 73.
Okay.
That's the last time that happened.
So it's going to be one of those against all odds, like, stories. And it'll be all about the people and blah, 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 and something like that, right?
Yeah, but you would think it's like, I know how that ends. I don't need to see that movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
What compels us to go back and relive that stuff?
Dude, I didn't go to see the first three Star Wars movies because I already saw the last three Star Wars movies.
You know they're re-releasing those in 3D, by the way?
They're releasing what?
Star Wars again in 3D.
Which ones?
All of them. All six.
All six? All seven? The Clone Wars? Did they make that cartoon to 3D?
Not the cartoon. The cartoons. No. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Oh, dear God. Dude, 3D's a fad. I hate to say it.
I think it's getting very mixed reviews, so I've been reading on the
it's a fad.
On the nerd blogs.
I'm 100 years old, and I've been through it already once. In the 80s, we had this thing.
Oh, yeah.
We had this thing called 3D. And
you remember Metal Storm? The destruction of Jared Sin in 3D?
Why would I remember that?
Because it was the best movie ever.
Oh, no, but there were tons of movies in 3D, and it didn't catch on. And I think it happened before in the 50s, and it happened before in the 20s. It's like every 30 years, they're like, everybody forgot. And then they, like, try it again. And now it's digital, and it's high def and everything, but I think it still sucks.
Well, the only reason why they're doing it now is to sell televisions.
Right, but you got to wear the glasses, right?
They're coming out with new ones that don't have the glasses.
Yeah, but you can only watch them from like 3 inches, like in the middle.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, it's all shitty. It's all shitty. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, that's what I think. I read a report that the number one deterrent for people buying 3D TVs is the glasses.
Right, and the number two deterrent is they don't want to sit in a 3-inch spot directly in front of the screen if they don't have the glasses. Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Also, you have like a brain, and if you look at this thing, and it's the camera already did this work, and you look, and it's like 3D kind of already, right?
Basically, yeah.
Right. So why would you? I don't. And it's even weirder because in gaming they're doing it too, which makes no sense to me. It's like the PS3 now they're gonna have like 3D games, right? But they already have
3D.
Yeah, but they already have 3D games. Like all games
it's
now.
3D games.
Yeah, but again, like. What's the point of that? I don't know. I don't understand. It doesn't add much, and it's, I don't know. The coolest thing I saw is the new Nintendo DS.
It's like, the little one.
Yeah, the 3DS, the like handheld that's 3D, and you don't need glasses. That looks pretty cool, except it comes with a giant warning that says like nobody under the age of 12 should use this device ever.
Because it will break your eyes and part of your cranium.
Yeah, so I'm not sure, because I think that's their target market. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to work those two out. But, whatever. It's Nintendo. They have a money press. They just print money.
Yeah, but people in Japan apparently have had cell phones with 3D displays for a while now.
You're making that up.
I'm not. I'm being truthful.
Really?
Yeah. They have everything that we don't have.
Well, do they? Do they have flying cars?
They have, like, I've seen, like, sex museums over there.
We have sex museums here. There's one in New York. Wait,
but not the same way.
Oh, it's...
Not where you put, like, a quarter into a naked lady, and then you get to ride it like a like a horse at the grocery store.
No, we have that.
Oh, we do?
Pretty sure we have that.
Nobody told me. Why didn't anybody tell me?
Pretty sure that exists somewhere here in the United States. I've never...
I kind of agree with you about the 3D thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm kind of... Here's the nerdster quotient of Uncomfortable Silence podcast number one.
Careful.
I'm very
careful,
much looking...
Careful. Careful. I have to interrupt. I'm sorry. Careful. Because remember what you said about Facebook before? And how you'd worried about clients and then they'll hear what you have to say?
I am a nerd, so I can say that.
Not the nerd part. The part that you're about to say.
That I'm excited about Tron coming out?
Oh, okay. No, I am too. That's not what I thought you were going to say, obviously.
Why don't you let me say what I was
going to
say?
Oh, dear God, don't let your clients know that you're excited.
Exactly. It's like, oh, Christ, he likes Tron. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many. I might lose some people over that. I don't know. But, you know, that movie, the Tron Legacy that's coming out, that's actually apparently one of the few films that actually is being shot actually in 3D.
I will not see it in 3D.
I will.
I will
I'll
only
see it in IMAX and 3D. I want to wet my pants.
I will only see it in two dimensions.
Because you're gay.
Because it's projected onto a two-dimensional screen, and that's how the movies work. And I'm going to go see a movie projected onto a 2D screen, and I'm not going to use some fakery with glasses to make that into 3D.
Well, if you want to see it in an IMAX, I don't think you have a choice.
Well, IMAX, okay. Yeah. Something weird is happening with IMAX too, right? Aren't they?
Well,
getting...
they changed all their screen sizes. They're getting like normal.
Yeah,
now.
Why do that? Here's your differentiator. You have giant screens, and you've convinced directors to use the giant screens. What's your next move? We're gonna get rid of the giant screens.
So my godson came down here from New Jersey. He flew from New Jersey to the San Diego area.
Excellent.
And we went to the Science Center that's down here in Balboa Park. Lovely Balboa Park. I recommend it. Mm-hmm. And we saw some videos in IMAX, but Science Center IMAX, which is the dome, you know, they project it on the inside of the dome. And it was really impressive.
Was it like, was it the Hubble one?
Yes, it was Hubble with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
was that one.
The Hubble one is supposed to be amazing.
It was really impressive. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing was that it actually felt like IMAX was supposed to be, as opposed to going to the movies and seeing like 300 in IMAX or whatever, you know, even Dark Knight, which they filmed in IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
It's something's lacking.
But they made use of the extra screen stuff and the fact that it was a comic and they did like strips and blah, 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 blah. No.
What are you talking about?
In the Dark Knight, there were a few segments like the building scenes where they're up
right,
on the top
in the
of
beginning. Yeah.
Not in the beginning, like later with the helicopter and all that, where the screen, which was normally like part, you know, it's like a full screen, instead it turned into like comic booky style, like strips where there was a strip in the middle that was doing one thing and there were different panels above and below it that had other things going on in them.
I don't think I actually saw The Dark Knight in IMAX, so I don't know.
Okay.
But I'll take your word for it, because I usually do.
Yeah, and that was like kind of cool, like, because it's like somebody was actually trying to use IMAX, the screen and the you know what makes it IMAX,
right?
And it was almost like 20 minutes of it or something. It was like a good portion of the movie.
Well, that's why this in, you know, this in the Science Center was so interesting, because it really did have this dome, you know, it felt like it was all around you, you know, which you don't get. It's really not real IMAX. Even though it is real IMAX in a movie theater, it doesn't give you the same quality of an immersive experience.
Okay, I believe you.
So there.
But weren't you just saying that, like, The Dark Knight didn't do it, and then didn't you say after that that you didn't see The Dark Knight in IMAX?
I admit to nothing.
Okay, I'm totally confused.
I have no recollection of that, Senator. That's the term.
Okay, so So yeah, okay. So this is. So I'm gonna. We have to talk about John Lennon.
Why do we have to talk about John Lennon?
You know why we have to talk about John Lennon.
Oh, so this was going to be a segue earlier before, you know, you went into any of your segues of all of my comments. After I was going to segue about the kids on the internet, mm-hmm. the internet kids. Mm-hmm.
Are these the preebies or just regular internet kids?
No, these are the regular kids on the internet. The ones under two that we were talking about before where their moms put all the pictures on. And this 80%, 80 to 90% yeah. of in different countries, it's different. In New Zealand, it's 91%. So
how many percent, what percent of preebies have an online presence?
I would say that's a good study to do. And I would say it's about 40%.
I would say, yeah, because I've seen a lot of I've seen a lot of in utero photos yep. of children. Yeah,
those sonogram photos. So the preebies even have their pictures on there.
Yeah.
But in thinking about that and like how many people put up, you know, pictures of themselves and all this other stuff, you know, you think about security. And you think about, you know, security questions never really go away. Even old security questions. So I just read a story that the FBI basically seized property from this store in Manhattan. That's your neck of the woods, by the way.
Yeah, I live in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's a store called Gotta Have It. And they like sell like memorabilia and stuff like that.
Right.
And they have a fingerprint page, you know, one of those police pages of fingerprints for John Lennon. They have John Lennon's fingerprints.
Was he arrested?
No, it was when he was trying to get a citizenship.
Okay.
So nobody knows how the owner of this store got this fingerprint card of John Lennon, but they basically just said, no, you can't have this. We're taking it. And that's, you know, the guy said that basically he got it from a concert promoter like 20 years ago. But is that right? I mean, the guy's dead, number one.
Right.
And number two, it's property that he owns.
Well, and owns.
I understand that it's like, you know, somebody's fingerprints and it's their identity.
But does he own that property? I mean, it's technically it's on like a government form of some kind, right? Or no?
It is. It's on a citizenship form. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know how that guy owns that. I mean, it's.
But are government forms government property? So like the an IRS form that you would fill out, is that actually a government form?
Well, it's actually a government form. Is it
that they own it?
Well, if you submit that information, then
I'm not talking about the information. I'm talking about the paper itself.
Right, but I'm saying if you submit it to them, then yes. So did John Lennon submit that form to the government at one point?
I have no idea.
See, I mean, that's the question. So if he did, then yes.
I would guess.
Then it would be some kind of weird, you know, like protected whatever property. And then if it got snuck out of there by somebody who stole it and then sold it to somebody else, fenced it, as they say in the business.
The fencing, yeah.
Yeah.
In the cat burglary business.
Then the FBI could seize it. But if it's just like this guy, if he never turned it in and like Yoko had it and she got drunk one night and some guy took it and, you know, whatever – she could file charges to try to get it back or whatever, but I don't know how that works. I don't know that much about crime.
Okay. So you say.
But I think that there would be some legal channels that she would try to get that back. The FBI just seizing it? I mean, yeah, I mean, if
it.
Yeah, it's weird. It. I don't know anything about it. Did you make that
just
up?
Just stole it. No, it's an article from the interweb.
He's been dead a long time, too, right?
What?
He's been dead a long time.
He's been dead for quite some time, which is why I don't know what the relevance is. It's kind of like somebody's signature. It's like, oh, you know, that stuff gets sold all the time.
That's true.
I mean, if it was like somebody's signature on an IRS form, it's like, oh, we're taking this because it's on an IRS form. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'm not a lawyer.
You know, the government is encroaching too much in our lives and our everything.
I know. Now they're taking our fingerprint sheets that we got, that right? we bought like from a fence.
Correct.
Ugh, what's next?
What if I'm a fingerprint collector? The government's going to come in and steal all my stuff?
Well, they are. Okay.
Well, Kurt,
yeah.
I've had a good time talking to you today.
I've had a great time talking to you.
I really hope that everybody out there, all of our zero users, have enjoyed this podcast as much as we always, every time we do it, even though this is the first time that we've done it, every time we do it, we enjoy it.
Out of all the podcasts that we have done.
Correct.
This is my favorite.
I think this one is probably the best we may ever do.
Top of the charts right here.
Agreed.
It's only downhill from here.
All right, folks. Go have an uncomfortable silence kind of day.